If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Organizers of New York's Times Square New Year's Eve celebration have announced that they will not allow an audience to gather due to the coronavirus pandemic. Fortunately, if New Yorkers still want to watch the ball drop, the Jets have 3 more games.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Stacey Abrams. But first, a closer look.
After the Electoral College made it official on Monday, some Republicans are now finally admitting that Joe Biden will be the next president, and many in the GOP and right-wing media are still insisting there is a way for Trump to subvert the will of the voters and remain in office. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Been a tough week for Donald Trump. The Electoral College made Joe Biden's win official. Republican leaders began to finally admit that Biden will be the next president, albeit way too late. A judge ruled that Trump's business must turn over documents sought as part of an investigation by the New York Attorney General's office. And on top of all that, Trump's neighbors in Florida went public with a small request. Please do not move here.
Trump's neighbors in Florida are bracing for the possibility he just might spend his post-White House days right there alongside them. Tonight, the Washington Post is reporting that some of the neighbors down in Mar-a-Lago want the city of Palm Beach to prevent Trump from settling down there. They argue he signed away his legal right to live there full time back in the 90s when the resort was originally converted from a private residence to a private club.
Just amazing. New Yorkers don't want him in New York. His neighbors don't want him at Mar-a-Lago. This is like one of those ironic punishments for a racist on the Twilight Zone. We do have a hacienda available in Mexico City. No! He's going to be our first nomad ex-president. Remember how everyone made fun of Hillary Clinton for taking a walk in the woods once after she lost? Trump's going to have to live in the woods. Years from now, a group of hikers are going to find him holed up in a cave with a long beard doing rallies for a bunch of polecats. We love the ferrets, don't we, folks? Natural allies. But the skunks, how do we feel about the skunks? Not nice. Not nice, the skunks. Trump's ego is obviously taking a hit this week, so his allies have come up with an idea to make him feel better. Give him credit for the COVID vaccine he had nothing to do with. Several Fox hosts have suggested that it should be called the Trump vaccine, and a right-wing columnist from the Washington Post wrote an op-ed called "Giving Trump Credit for the Vaccine is the Best Way for Biden to Unite the Country." First of all, why should Trump get credit for the vaccine? What did he do besides say we should make a vaccine? I mean, I think we should make dinner for the kids every night, but I'm smart enough not to tell my wife we should call it Dad's spaghetti. Also, you're never going to unite this country, and it's crazy to try. Biden should give the same speech my algebra teacher used to give on the first nice Friday in April. I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Let's just get through this crap so we can all go home. Trump didn't do anything. He's like the guy standing on the sidewalk watching you parallel park. You got to cut the wheels, man. Yeah, I know that. For a crowd that constantly claims your feelings don't matter, they seem to think Donald Trump's feelings matter a lot, and especially this week after the Electoral College yet again confirmed that Trump had lost. Yesterday at a rally, In Georgia, Biden joked about the fact that multiple recounts in the Electoral College had confirmed his victory there.
Thank you for standing strong to make sure your voices were heard, your votes were counted, and counted, and counted again. I'm starting to feel like I won Georgia three times.
It's true, Biden's win in Georgia has been confirmed three times, and in terms of convincing someone of the truth, needing three times is what's known as a scrooging. But there you have it, three times. Biden's win in Georgia has been confirmed more times than a dentist appointment. And Dr. Giotopoulos, you don't need to call me every day for 3 weeks before the appointment. Just send me one email 2 days ahead of time so I know it's time to start flossing. And yes, I've been wearing my retainer. Honey, have you seen my retainer? Also, if Biden's Georgia win had been confirmed three times, that means Trump's loss has also been confirmed three times. When you get rejected, it's pretty pathetic to double-check once, let alone three times. Trump has been outside Georgia's window holding the boombox three nights in a row, and each night Georgia shut the window and turned on the sprinklers. And that may seem like a dated movie reference, but remember, Trump's only political philosophy is say anything. Only a true business genius like Trump could parlay one embarrassing loss into multiple embarrassing losses. It's like investing in Enron, and then when it goes bust, you jump out the window, but instead of the sidewalk, you land on a couch someone was throwing out, and you fart super loud, just as a dowager countess is getting out of a town car. Trump found a way to keep reminding people on a nearly daily basis that he's now the only president in history to lose the popular vote, get impeached, then lose re-election, which is worse than being forgotten. Zachary Taylor sucked too, but nobody even remembers that guy, except that he's the only president in history named after two toddlers. Zachary! Put that stick to... Because I said so! Taylor! Where are your pants? You don't know? Zachary! Why is your stick bigger? You too. On the plus side for Trump, he's the president every kid for the next 100 years is going to want to do their oral report on. Jason, your president is James K. Polk. I don't want that snooze fest. I want the guy who knew Grimace. And yet, Sandberg. I want to do the Grimace president. Nobody here gets me. And yet the deluded Trump dead-enders will not give up, not because they genuinely think there's a path to staying in power, but because they're fully invested in the belief that their opponents are illegitimate and any votes for Democrats are fraudulent. On Monday, after the Electoral College vote, the far-right network Newsmax tried to brush it off like it was some inconsequential technicality.
There are people right now who are out there calling Joe Biden the president-elect. Now, at this point, there is some political and some historical justification for them to do so at this point. I personally feel they're wrong.
No, you personally feel they're wrong? You don't want your controversial views to stain the sterling journalistic reputation of Newsmax, which up until recently got less attention than a stand-up comic opening at Ozfest. How's everybody doing? You guys ready to thrash? First, that's great. Where are my married guys at? Married guys? I don't know much about Newsmax, but it sounds like the name of one of those fake news shows. It's really just a late-night infomercial for hair plugs. Welcome back to Newsmax. Our next guest is the medical genius behind the latest breakthrough in hair science known as paint. But hey, he personally feels they're wrong to call Joe Biden the president-elect, just like I personally feel that the 2007 Academy Awards were wrong to give Best Actor to Forest Whitaker for Last King of Scotland instead of me for my role in American Dreams with Hugh Grant, who said to my face about my performance... And this is real. I don't remember it. We had scenes together. The Trump cabal is so committed to subverting democracy and painting Biden's win as illegitimate that some states even held fake electoral college votes and pretended alternate slates of electors would be sent to Congress to put Trump over the top once they, finally win a court case.
As we speak today, an alternate slate of electors in the contested states is going to vote, and we're going to send those results up to Congress. This will ensure that all of our legal remedies remain open.
Alternate electors? You might be thinking of an alternate universe. Not only is the president well on his way to re-election here on Earth C, he is also one step closer to apprehending America's gravest threat, Superman, the villain of Krypton. And I'm sorry, but none of your legal remedies remain open. You guys lost almost 60 court cases, including two at the Supreme Court. At this point, you're the kid at the spelling bee who's buying time by continuing to list letters. We're going to stop you there, Kyle. Pheromone doesn't start with an F, and I think we both know it doesn't have 35 E's. And no, you didn't just lose on a technicality, as Trump and his allies have continued to claim.
They're winning these things on little technicalities, like a thing called standing.
Standing is not a technicality. It means you don't even have the right to bring the case. That's like saying, they won't let me play Little League because of the technicality that I'm not 9 years old. Now, we do think it's worth pausing while we're putting so much emphasis on the Electoral College to remind everyone that the Electoral College is a terrible system. And the way you can tell it's a bad system is the majority of Americans want to get rid of it. And it felt that way for decades, but it's still there. If you're a sane, normal person, you might have assumed that the presidential election was over the moment it became clear that Joe Biden would get more votes than Donald Trump. That's how it works in most democracies, with the exception of Norway, of course, where the prime minister is chosen by a mystical gnome named Lars, who emerges from his cave once every 4 years and names a new leader in exchange for fish balls and orange soda. And that's today's gentle Scandinavian joke. Of course, in Norway, they chant, "Fjord more years!" And that's today's no audience joke. Which still did better with the crew than every other joke. We'll put in the crickets. You won't hear it over the crew laughing. Although it might actually be preferable to have a system like that, because instead, we have the Electoral College, which every 4 years anoints a handful of swing states as kingmakers and has awarded the presidency the loser of the popular vote several times. I mean, remember, Joe Biden got 7 million more votes than Donald Trump out of a total of 158 million. But if you flip about 65,000 combined votes in the right states, Trump would win the Electoral College, and that's insane. We don't do anything else like that. When the Steelers score a touchdown, it's not worth 47 points just because they're from a swing state, although that would be a very helpful right now. Anyway, the Electoral College is a ticking time bomb that is inevitably going to lead to a major crisis of Democratic legitimacy one day. Arguably, it already has. It's just the Democrats, unlike Republicans, accept the results of elections. And it's not even like the Electoral College was carefully crafted by the founders and designed as an integral component of our democracy. In fact, they basically left it until the last minute of the Constitutional Convention, then half-assed it so they could all go home.
1787, the founders... they go to Philadelphia, the framers of the Constitution create this new document, which has a president for the first time, and they have to decide, how are we going to choose the president, right? And it is the most vexing question for the whole summer. They fight about it for weeks on end, and then they come up with this system in the waning days of the convention, primarily because they were completely exhausted. They wanted to get the hell out of there. And, James Madison admits it after the fact. He says, we were pretty tired at that point.
The founders approached the Electoral College with all the energy of fans at the seventh inning of a Mets game. If we leave now, we can beat the horse traffic. Wait, hold on. I can't find my teeth. And it's also worth noting that almost immediately, the founders realized their system was broken and wasn't operating the way they intended. They didn't think we'd devolve into a situation where we have to pray that Florida finally pulls it together like we're Zachary and Taylor's mom at the kindergarten Christmas pageant. Just please behave for one night. Zachary! Why would Joseph have a lightsaber? What part of the Bible, Taylor, is a wise man not wearing pants? Zachary! Taylor! These two. The founders just wanted to go home, so they scratched out a half-baked electoral college system at the last minute, then got the hell out of there. There's a reason there's no rap battle in Hamilton about the creation of the Electoral College, even though I thought my audition was very convincing. Sit back, everybody, as I drop a little knowledge about the E to the L to the Electoral College. Shoemaker, when you rave the roof, you go like this, and you're going like this. Oh, you want me to stop? Why? It's bad? Yeah, but all raps start bad. Well, agree to disagree. You know what? Let's have this fight later. The Electoral College should be abolished for the obvious reason that in democracy, everyone's vote should matter, and whoever gets the most votes should win. But abolishing the Electoral College would also have the added benefit of preventing future attempts to steal the election through Congress or state legislatures or the courts, just like the one we just saw. The presidency would go to whoever got the most votes, and that's it. It would be simple. It would be like how a democracy works or how any election anywhere works. In high school, all the kids vote for who they think gave the funniest speech, and then that person is class president. Not like the students vote, and then the prom king, a math teacher, and the kid with the pet iguana get in a room and decide if they're right. And if it was a simple case of most votes win, you wouldn't have Rudy and his gang of cartoon characters descending on state capitals after one too many Jaeger bombs at the local Houlihan's. Democrats need to pursue major reforms to our institutions to ensure that something like this can't happen in the future. Otherwise, it will happen in the future. Republicans made it very clear that if given the chance, they will do everything possible to steal an election through the courts, Congress, or state legislatures, and the existence of the Electoral College makes such an outcome much more likely. even if Republicans don't have
a thing called standing.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our first guest tonight was the 2018 Democratic nominee for governor of Georgia and is the founder of the voting rights organization Fair Fight. Please welcome back to the show our friend Stacey Abrams. How are you, Stacey?
I am doing quite well. Thank you very much.
I am worried about your well-being because obviously this seemed like an endless presidential campaign in which you were in Georgia working very hard on voter turnout, which obviously was very successful. But then in Georgia, of course, it started up right again with these two runoffs. How is your energy levels right now?
I am so looking forward to January 6th and taking a nap, but until we get there, there's no sleep till Brooklyn. We're on it.
A lot of people have credited you with the voter turnout that helped flip Georgia. And on Monday, you actually got to preside over the Electoral College and basically giving out those votes. What was that experience like?
It was thrilling. It was fantastic. It was a little sweeter when I learned that there was that alternate reality elector cabal happening right below us. And, you know, it felt good. It felt really good in a small, petty, and yet patriotic and very happy for our nation way.
I think it's very possible to be on the largest part patriotic and then allowing yourself some small pettiness as well. I think we're only human. You appeared at a drive-in rally this week with both President-elect Joe Biden as well as Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff. How is that? How is the sort of drive-in rally treating you?
It was really good. I mean, look, in COVID reality, the honks, you know, they stand in. It's up very adequately for clapping and applause. And there's occasionally this stray honk that you hope was a punctuation of something smart that you said and not someone accidentally leaning their elbow on the steering wheel. But we saw a lot of enthusiasm for John Ossoff, for Raphael Warnock, and of course, the surge of applause when President-elect Joe Biden came on stage. People are ready for 2021. We're ready for him to have a good team in the Senate that's willing to work with him and get things done. And we saw that happen yesterday, and we believe we're going to get it done in January.
It was obviously a big win in Georgia, but it was also a very close win. And there have been multiple recounts. How do you build on the momentum of what you accomplished in 2020?
Sadly, people know what's at stake because our current senators are arguing over baseball names instead of fighting Mitch McConnell to ensure that we get COVID relief packages. They are making money off of profit. They're making money and profit off of trades instead of saving the small businesses that are shutting down. And we have now crossed the threshold of more than 10,000 people who've perished in Georgia from COVID-19, and they are still planning to eliminate access to healthcare. We don't need anyone else on the ballot except for the two of them to keep the energy up because Georgians understand that the only way to make what we've tried to do in 2020 work is to make certain that Joe Biden has a balanced Senate with two U.S. senators from Georgia who are willing to work with him to get good done.
It does seem like Donald Trump's reaction to the election has put Senators Loeffler and Perdue in a tricky situation. They're both supporting the president's many legal claims about the outcome of the election, but they also have to get voters to believe in the electoral system and turn out for them in this runoff. Has it been interesting watching them sort of do the acrobatics this requires?
It's not just the acrobatics. It's the appropriation of Donald Trump's ability to lie with impunity, to distract from their inability to actually deliver. And yes, they you know, argue that people should vote in a system that they don't trust and that they should do it now, but not because it's actually going to work. We have a very simple message. We want to save America. Please vote. And that has worked, I think, very well. We send people to gasenate.com, to helpwingeorgia.com. We're getting thousands of people who want to help. And more importantly, here in Georgia, we're seeing extraordinary turnout. We've had 2 days of record turnout for early voting, and we expect a third on Wednesday.
There's been no shortage of surreal moments in this election cycle, but one that was added to the list is at a recent debate with John Ossoff and Senator Perdue. Senator Perdue decided not to show up. And then in a real passive-aggressive move that I applaud, they still had a podium for him. How did you think the podium did?
I think the podium acquitted itself well. It had about the same amount to say about the future of Georgia as the candidate himself would have. David has made a career of not showing up. He has not held a single public town hall in 6 years in the state of Georgia. In fact, you have to contribute to his campaign in order to get an audience with him. If you are, you know, an average Joe, I'm not sure how you're supposed to meet with him. And so it's time for him to have all the time he needs to reflect on his successes. And we need John Ossoff in his place, because you saw an animated and present possible U.S. senator.
We've talked about this before in the show. You were never a believer in the messaging that it was really important to flip Donald Trump voters. You believed that it was far more important to focus on non-voters and infrequent voters. What is it that you think President-elect Biden has to do over the course of these next 4 years, and even over the course of the next 2 years until the midterms, to bring out more of that voting block?
I think the first thing, and I mean this very sincerely, showing that he's concerned about everyone. I am clearly a Democrat. I believe in the values espoused by my party, but I trust what he says and I adhere to what he says, which is that he may have been elected as a Democrat, but he intends to be the president of everyone. And when you have a U.S. president who returns us to those norms where he doesn't speak in terms of base and, you know, siphoning off certain communities as being enemies of our people, but instead talks about how we together can defeat COVID, how we together can recover our economy, how we together can pursue racial justice. That kind of language brings people in. They may be reluctant, they may be suspicious, but at least they'll believe that they have a place and they're willing to have the conversation.
The president has attacked both your Republican Secretary of State. He's attacked Governor Kemp, who you lost your race to in 2018. And one of the things that I think is really scary now is that the reaction to this is that we will see more blocks putting in place to have people vote. Are you worried about that ultimately what the Republican Party, and it seems like what, when you listen to Kemp and the Secretary of State, it seems like they're saying, look, we're going to put in more safeguards. And of course, when you talk about the safeguards they're talking about, it seems like it will lead to less Georgians being able to vote.
They're going to restore, if they have their way, they're going to try to restore in Georgia and around the country, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, every place where we were able to mitigate voter suppression. When you hear the word safeguard, what you should hear is, we're going to stop those people from voting again. What we accomplished in 2020 across the country through Fair Fight's work and the work of so many others, including Mark Elias and the Leadership Conference and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the NAACP itself, the Lawyers Committee, it was a collective effort to create access to the right to vote. The problem for the Republicans is when people vote, when they have the right to vote, Republicans start to lose. Newt Gingrich said it himself about Georgia. If people can actually mail in their ballots and return them, Republicans can't win. Their fear is not that there is an assault on our elections. Their fear is that people are actually participating and making smart choices. I don't think that any party should be guaranteed a victory, but every American should be guaranteed a vote if you're eligible. And that's what they're afraid of. And we know that starting in January, here in Georgia, led by Governor Kemp and Brad Raffensperger, but across the country, there will be marked and naked attempts to pull back the right to vote, because when they control the power, they control it best by silencing the people.
I think now is an important time for all of us to work really hard, but also to provide some self-care. We've talked in the past. You enjoy to read a book. You enjoy to write a good book. You enjoy television. Are there any shows right now that Stacey Abrams is watching that you want to give a shout out to?
So, loved The Queen's Gambit. That was fantastic. And I have been saving up my episodes of Star Trek Discovery. That's what I get to do over the Christmas break, the, I think, 28 hours that my team is going to give me to rest over the holiday. That's what I'm going to be watching, binge watching it, getting it done. And, of course, watching every episode of The Seth Meyers Show that I've missed during this campaign.
Thank you very much. I was fishing for that, and I'm glad I got you on the line. It is always a delight to see you. Best of luck, and hopefully next time in person.
Look forward to it. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, and to you. Stacey Abrams, everybody.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.